All right, we finished the book of 1 Samuel right now, and we are in 1 Samuel chapter 30, resuming our study in verse 24. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, David has and his men have just returned from a major victory against the Amalekites, who had raided their town and took their wives and their children captive. They came back. They didn't lose anyone. And so it was a great victory that God gave to David and his men. And he did it with 400 men. He started out with 600, but 200 were too faint to go on. And now the victorious soldiers return home, and some of them don't want to share with the 200 that were too tired. They just didn't have anything left. They couldn't go. I've been in that situation. I've been so hungry, so tired, that I just couldn't move. So it happens. It happens. Anyway, they didn't want to share. And so David is speaking to them. Verse 23, and then said David, "You shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken to you in this matter? But as his part is that goes down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarries by the stuff or the supplies. They shall part alike." He made it clear. You know, God doesn't condemn people for being too sick or too physically tired to do something. That's why drunkenness and many other sinful activities, such as stealing, should never be labeled a disease. They are sin. And that's why God will punish people for committing them. But God doesn't punish people who have cancer. He doesn't punish people who have the flu because they are sick. They're just, there's a physical problem with them. 25. And it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel to this day. And so the soldiers who stay behind to guard the home were to be honored along with those who fought on the front line. And I've said this before, no honest work is unimportant. No job that God gives us to do is insignificant. No job, even those behind-the-scenes jobs, are unimportant. All honest work has dignity and should be rewarded. 26. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil to the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, "Behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord." The surplus of the spoils of war were shared by David with the people of Israel. God gave, so David shared. Verse 27. To them which were in Bethel, and to them which were in South Ramoth, and to them which were in Jatir, and to them which were in Aurora, and to them which were in Sifmoth, and to them which were in Eshtemoah, and to them which were in Rachel, and to them which were in the cities of Jerahmeelites, and to them which were in the cities of the Kenites, and to them which were in Hormah, and to them which were in Korashan, and to them which were in Athak, and to them which were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men had lived. And there you have it, chapter 31. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. Now remember that foolish rule Saul made up back in chapter 14, when God had handed him and Israel the victory over the Philistines. Remember that? Saul made up this stupid, unbiblical rule. He said, no Israelite soldier can eat anything until the Philistines are defeated. Well, they were not completely defeated because of that unbiblical rule. And now they're back, beating up on Israel once again. God gave them the complete victory in the past, but they squandered it by their stupidity and their man-made rules that went contrary to the Word of God. Being unscriptural will come back to haunt us in one way or another every single time. Again, verse 1. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And here's the bad part. Saul's foolish rules years earlier, his sinful rule resulted in the death of innocent Israelite soldiers. Right here. See, before we sin, we should look around at the people we care about, and we should realize that it's going to have a bad effect on them as well as on us. Verse 2, and the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Melchishua, Saul's sons. Rebellion is nothing to take lightly. Saul's rebellion led to the death of his sons. You know, it's bad enough to have our sin affect us, but its effects usually do not stop there. It usually affects the innocent around us. Verse 3 and 4, and the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul to his armor-bearer, draw your sword, and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor-bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. Saul was worried about how the Philistines might pick on him, torment him before he dies. He should have been worried about slipping into eternity without being saved. It takes a depraved soul to slip into eternity without God on your mind. And he doesn't seem to be on Saul's mind here. Again, verse 4. Let's read it one more time. Then said Saul to his armor-bearer, draw your sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor-bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. A servant should obey their master, but this servant was right to disobey. No one has the right to tell you to submit if they want you to submit to sin and even mercy killing is killing. And the last thing Saul does is kill himself. He lived not caring about God, and he died not caring about God. There should have been confession and repentance on his lips instead of the words, kill me. 5. And when his armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. Saul was the authority figure in this servant's life, so he did as Saul did. Kind of pathetic. A lot of people are looking for normal today, and they look to see what is normal for others, so that they can believe in something. People want to believe in something. They just don't know what normal is, most of them. So that's another reason to stay close to God. We don't know who might be looking to us for normal. 6. So Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor bearer, and all his men that same day together. There were a lot of widows in Israel, and a lot of children without fathers because of Saul's rebellion. Satan doesn't have to get you to sin to bring misery into your life. All he has to do is get someone connected to you to sin, and you'll have plenty. 7. And when the men of Israel that were on the other side of the valley, and they that were on the other side Jordan, saw that the men of Israel fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled, and the Philistines came and dwelled in them. And Saul can be blamed for this bad. But we can actually take it back one step further to the Israelites who rejected God and demanded a human king like all the other nations in the first place. When we remove the lordship of Christ from any area of our life, we remove a lot of good that could have been and replace it with a lot of bad. 8. And it came to pass on the morrow, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. Saul is dead, and so are his sons, who formerly, or I should say normally, would have been heir to his throne. And these Philistines must have been just licking their chops, thinking that Israel has absolutely no leader. We just wiped out the entire dynasty. They don't have a leader. That's what they're thinking. 9. And they cut off his head, stripped off his armor, and sent into the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. They cut off Saul's head to emphasize their total victory over Israel. They put Saul's armor in the temple of their false god as a way of proclaiming victory over the God of Israel. What they do not understand is that they defeated Saul with the help of Almighty God, who was using them to judge that sinner. They got it completely wrong. Verse 10, and they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Beth Shan. So they chopped off his head, nailed his body to a wall, and if Saul is in hell, that's the very least of his problems. Doesn't matter if a person is a legendary hero or a legendary bum. Nothing means anything to them if they're grinding their teeth and suffering in the flames of hell. 11. And when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Beth Shan and came to Jabesh and burned them there. Did I say burned them there? I did say burned them there because that's what the Bible says. I thought my glasses were blurry. 40 years earlier, Saul bravely rescued these people of Jabesh-Gilead. And they never forgot that. So even though Saul has done a lot of bad in those 40 years, they risked their lives to take his body back to Israel. And those people of Jabesh-Gilead remind me of Jesus. As Christians, we do a lot of things that are wrong, and we don't live up to God's standards and probably not even our own expectations, but the right we do in the midst of the wrong will not be forgotten. And as undeserving as we may be, we will be rewarded for it by Jesus Christ. 13. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. Saul was the people's choice. However, Saul was a failure. He was a miserable moral failure, and as a result, he was a miserable political failure. He died a disgraceful death, and he left the nation Israel in a mess. And here is our lesson that I leave you with. Do not worry about being the people's choice. He was. Don't worry about being the people's choice. Worry about living for God. Being the people's choice may make us popular, but in the end, we'll be left with nothing.